my new headset.
Good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Don't you just love that visual? Seas would rise, you know, at my word, and then, you know, imparting the sea, such power. So welcome, everyone. This is Greg Masters. I am co-hosting today a special Friday edition with my partner, Pat. You can hear Pat. I don't need to introduce her, you know. Dr. Pat Solver, my partner and co-host today on This Week in Health Innovation. And we have a treat in store for you today. I'm actually going to introduce, in essence, our third co-host, which is Leah Carey, who's also known on Twitter as @TheHealthMaven. And she's lined up a very interesting program for us. It is going to – we're going to dive into something that is known as the Model H Community or Initiative. Call it what you may. Let me just briefly read this to you before I turn it over to you, Leah.
Sure.
Model H is a dynamic collaboration between Kevin Riley and Associates, Innovation Excellence, and Battery that has come together for a year-long project focused on co-creating healthcare business models. Our goal is to co-create an open-source business model with Canvas, with the healthcare community as a collaborative forum. Now, I just love that idea about the open source collaborative Canvas. So, Leah, with that up, why don't you introduce yourself, our guest today, and we'll take it from there.
Sure, Greg. First of all, Greg and Pat, thanks for having us on your show. It's really great to connect with you guys. And first of all, I'm thrilled, too, that the whole Battery and Kevin Riley and my co-lead, Doug Williams, is on. So let me introduce everybody. So we have Kev Cummins, the CEO of Battery, his wingman, Joe Messina, Doug Williams, he's the Chief Research Officer of Innovation Excellence, and our Chief Visionary, Kevin Riley. And Model H is just a smoking hot innovation collaborative, like you said, between Kevin Riley and Associates, Innovation Excellence, and Battery. And we've come together for a year-long project focused on generating healthcare business models. And our goal is to create meaningful change by tapping into health thought leaders like both of you. I think I've sent both of you an invitation. So we want to co-create through a community on a canvas. And Kevin Riley, as I said, is our chief visionary. And he is the one behind this idea. So, Kevin, why don't you share some of that future think?
You bet. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, and it's good to hear from everybody. I don't know if you guys were looking today, but there are over 50 people signed up, Model H, and we've only been out there for a week or so. So that's pretty exceptional. The impetus behind this really stems from two things. I have a history of being involved in and starting up healthcare startups. And so when trying to explain what the business model is to people or helping entrepreneurs who are creating a startup explain what their business model is, I've relied on this concept that Alex Osterwalder has developed called business model canvassing. And that works great for a market-based dynamic. Healthcare in America is anything but that. In fact, it's just ripe with disincentives and strange bedfellows who, sad enough to say, usually work against each other's best interest. So what we've done is we've decided, I think we need to do this. We need to make sure that we can all speak from some common vernacular and have visual framework that we can answer these questions about how to make a better healthcare system. So we're not trying to make a better mousetrap. We're trying to make a better mousetrap builder. And 18% of the GDP and growing, healthcare reform looming over all of us, the time is absolutely right to do this. But it's beyond the thinking of just one person, certainly beyond the thinking of just myself. So teaming with a group like Battery that is all about co-creation and has built a platform to enable people to come together, we think we've really got the right idea at the right time with the right tool. So as Leah said, we're going to build this business model canvas that's specific to American healthcare system. It's going to help legacy healthcare companies and entrepreneurs speak to and divine better healthcare business models, and we're going to do it by co-creating across the stakeholder spectrum of payers and healthcare providers and healthcare consumers and folks who are providing merchandise and drugs and equipment to the healthcare system. All of us are going to get together and use this wave that we're riding right now of healthcare reform to push through a better way to build healthcare models.
Well, that sounds excellent. So obviously, you know that healthcare is a bit of a challenge when contrasted to other industries. It seems somewhat resilient against innovation and change. How does this work where maybe some of the collective efforts of the past have not? What are you up against?
So there are some fantastically good ideas that have come into the healthcare market and have actually made it out. So I think about Castlight. Castlight's a company based in Silicon Valley, I believe, and they're about customer transparency. So that concept that customers should be able to know what the prices of the products are has not really made it into healthcare yet. Castlight is one of those companies that's really pushing to that, and they've been given, I think, about $150 million to go do their thing. But for every one Castlight, there are thousands of entrepreneur companies that are actually not moving the needle. So it's wasteful if you consider the fact that there's all these people who have levels of genius and experience and speed and desire to go make new business models, but don't understand the mechanics of the healthcare system well enough that they can actually make something that moves the needle and makes a difference. So you're seeing the precipitation of a lot of healthcare startups, particularly funded by insurance companies and legacy healthcare systems. But they still haven't solved the problem of how do we have a common language, a common vernacular, and a common framework to answer the question of what is the business model to move the needle in healthcare. And to move the needle in healthcare, you have to create a great consumption experience that makes the providers of that care happy and feel well paid, at the same time keeping costs under control. It can't just be a free-for-all, free market, everyone do everything, because costs are not sustainable. They're already at 18% of our GDP, and it in fact is going to be the thing that's going to bankrupt the country if we don't get a handle on it.
And so this is Pat, and as I listen to this, and I've been in healthcare a long time, so I've been through multiple. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I've been through multiple rounds of health reform and people thinking that they're going to be able to get us all on the same page. The ACA is only the latest of those efforts to do it. And so my question to you is that part of the problem with healthcare is that it's not that there's a business model, it's that there's 50 million business models in that, you know, kind of every segment and every region and every variation on a theme of how healthcare is delivered has its own business model. And if we look at the ACA, or ACOs in particular, where people are trying to transform from a fee-for-service, which now, after long last, people are saying is not really a very good business model, to some kind of capitated model, the transition is really hard for the individual doc. So I guess what I'm hoping is that you can explain to me how your process is going to be able to be big enough or gigantic enough to encompass these jillions of existing business models and move them to something that is more uniform, I think you're saying, and better.
So you hit it on the head. You're exactly right. Osterwalder would consider this to be a multi-sided business model. It is very complex, and fee-for-service is what's put us at the 18% of GDP range. So I advocate for disruptive models for healthcare payment like ACOs that really find the incentive to do the right thing and only the right, keeping costs under control. But for the docs to go implement this, they actually have to understand the other fundamentals of how the business model works and how a business model works. So if we're seeing far on this, it's because we're standing on the backs of giants. The team that did the original business model canvas did a wonderful job of explaining this. So we're not deterring from, we're actually building on top of, adding in those other elements to that original business model canvas. So, for example, in a normal market economic model, you've got the customer segment, and they've got a value proposition that the company's trying to connect them with. And between those two things, the customer segment and the value proposition, there's product market fit. In healthcare, you've got some intermediary, in most cases, several intermediaries in between the value proposition and the customer. Influencing the customer are a whole host of influencers, some of which are their care providers, some of which are their family members. So it's those two types of elements that are additive to what Osterwalder would say would be the value proposition or product market fit. We believe that we've actually got the right track. We are building from something that has been established time and time again. I encourage everyone to go and seek out and learn about Alex Osterwalder's business model canvas. We're taking that and lots of domain experience that comes from experts from every facet of the healthcare continuum. So we're all these experts coming together, and we're going to beat up this model over the next year to make sure it fits, it's right, it's applicable. And by the end of it, we should have something that's robust enough and tested enough to actually be meaningful at the scale that you're asking for, because anything less isn't going to work, and it's going to be an also-ran. So we really do have our sights set very high. We want to build something that is going to be big enough and robust enough to truly solve healthcare in all of the uniqueness and complexity that it offers. The other reason why we can do this now, and I think this is the part, Pat, that's probably, along with us building on the backs of the Osterwalder model, this is the most influential to our success. Prior to this day and age, there hasn't been a co-creation platform that allowed people who are willing to commit to a process or a project like this, who have unique domain experience from across the healthcare spectrum, to come together on a common platform and actually hash out and work out the inside and out and the nuance of everything that we're talking about. So what I'm saying is, without a system like Battery there to bring people together to focus on a common task and then cycle through several of these tasks to create a bigger business model, there's no way we could have done this unless it was, you know, funded research through an institution, millions and millions of dollars over a long period of time. We believe building off Osterwalder, building on top of and using the Battery co-creation system are really the two main ingredients to what we think is going to be a successful endeavor.
So let me chime in there, Kevin. That's beautiful, and I have to say, as someone who thinks he pays attention to this innovation space, you've mentioned a few things I'm not at all familiar with, so I'm going to have to do a little homework here. But talk about, I mean, you just mentioned Battery, the Canvas piece, the Oster, getting pronounced.
Osterwalder.
Osterwalder.
Alex Osterwalder.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Talk about the players in the conversation right now, how you formed this effort, what do each individually bring, and what's the expectation here longer term?
Well, I'm going to throw that back to innovation excellence, because, again, there, if innovation excellence and its nationwide, actually not nationwide, worldwide network of innovators didn't have the chutzpah, Leah, if you will,
hey,
we can actually do this, then I'm not sure that you would have got the other players involved. So, LJ, you want to talk to this?
Sure. So I've adapted names here, Pat and Greg. He calls me LJ, so I just love that. So just to circle back, Pat, I thought you asked a great question, you too, Greg. One of the things that Osterwalder discovered, he had about a community of 400 to 500, is that he had a range of participation, anywhere from those who just put incredibly rich content down to those who were just reading the stuff and contributing in very different ways. So that's what we're expecting, is to be able to leverage our healthcare communities, all three of us, Pat and Greg, myself, we have incredible communities. Kevin also has incredible communities that we want to leverage Just to give you an example, Vince Curitis registered, and he actually is cited in Osterwalder's book, and he's done this before. So we had that level of participants to those who are going to come in and I think observe. I think they're going to contribute inspiration. And I think after I'm finished, I'm going to toss this ball over to the battery folks so they can describe the ability to interact at very different levels and textures to help create this book, but also to generate insight into what a next business model might look like in financing, in care delivery, in care consumption. So, Kevin, can you describe?
Actually, yeah, let me add in there too. This is Kevin Riley.
Yeah, sure.
We've also got folks like Matthew Holt and Jean Bliss. Jean Bliss, who's considered the customer champion. She's written the tome on how to actually build a customer officer within a corporate environment. So we've attracted, as Leah said, we've attracted very high-profile, talented people. And this is not LinkedIn. We're not trying to deride LinkedIn, but this isn't a forum where one person posts something and you get a little commentary. What Kevin, I hope, is going to talk to is the fact that we've actually got an engine that's going to power a conversation. And we already have people from all over the world. There's folks from Sweden and from Holland that have joined our team, let alone all across the United States. So, Kev, how do those people come together for a common cause and actually co-create?
Well, Kevin, this is Kev Cummins from Battery, and I'm sitting here with both Joe and Tom. And Tom is in the platform on a regular basis with the support of the IX team. And so much like it took the leadership and thought from Leah and from Kevin Riley, along with the support from the IX team, and then the platform itself to bring this thing together and to create an opportunity for us to go tackle such an important problem. The Battery platform believes and supports the concept of co-creation, which is to suggest that there's a creative process, there's the ability for not only you to post a comment, but to post a suggestion or post a concept, and the entire team is able to build on that. And so what we've done is created a collaborative environment where experts can get together and work towards a common goal. And the ability to do that globally, the ability to do that with instantaneous access, and the ability to focus on the build of the idea, the capture of the inspiration, the evaluation of these assets, gives each member of these teams that are coming on board an opportunity to participate in their own way.
That's awesome. We're wondering. At least Pat and I are sort of chatting while you guys are talking. And,
it's the beauty of the modern age where you can have seven conversations going on at the same time.
I know. I'm texting with Doug.
Oh, okay, good. Well, so one of the questions that Greg and I have is, let me preface this by saying years ago I was the chief medical officer of something called the Center for Practical Health Reform, which had this idea that they were also going to convene everybody and, come up with exactly the right model. And we got, lots of good for yous, I don't want to sound too critical. I'm going to get to a question here eventually. But when we went around and we started talking with the people who are doing just fine under the status quo, the hospitals, the health plans, the big medical groups, the device makers, pharma, when it came to actually wanting to really drive change, the motivation just wasn't there. So my question to you is, you named a lot of innovative people, Matt and Vince and people who are really at the forefront of
you guys,
thinking about innovation. Oh, and us, of course. But are you going to bring in these other guys too, who have these gigantic, billion-dollar businesses, and engage them in the conversation? Because we could design absolutely the perfect mouse. But then these guys aren't necessarily going to want to play with it.
So Pat, this is Kevin Riley. I like your questions. You're directing you to the point, and this isn't a fluff piece. This is really hard stuff. So just prior to doing this, up to the end of last year, I was a chief innovation officer for a major insurance company, which is a bit of an oxymoron if you think about it. But
yes, I agree.
but in that, we've got a couple things working for us. One is reform. Reform is forcing new models to come to play. And it's forcing more of a market take on how the structure is going to go forward. So things like ACOs, right, that are well past bundled payments at about shared risk can actually come to fruition. That's exciting. Then number two, all these companies realize, my God, because I've been so invested in the status quo, I've never actually developed internal culture of innovation and a workforce for innovation. So they're investing very heavily in partnering with startups and creating startup accelerators. So here we have a chance to fuel and educate the people who are going to drive the healthcare models of the future by educating them all on a common framework. And there's impetus behind it both from reform as well as these legacy companies just trying to stay afloat. So is it a perfect time? No, but there's never been a better time, and we're all too stubborn to think that this isn't going to actually work, and it kind of has to work at this point in time. So we've taken that approach to the whole concept. And if you also look at the success that Alex Osterwalder and team have had and the rave feedback that the people who have used his concepts to develop their own business models, I think this is going to catch fire and be self-propelled because of the combination of those three things. It's a good model and a good idea. There's lots of people who are going into the creation space within the healthcare field, and we can help educate them. And then three, reform is powering movement in places that hitherto have been resistant to that movement.
Yeah, this is Pat. I think you're right. There's never been a better time for reform. There periodically efforts at reform have popped.
Did we lose Pat?
No, I was playing around with the mute here. efforts for problem is I have a new headset and I can't find the mute button. So just bear with me. but the efforts at reform have come up periodically. What's different this time, I think, is that whether you like ACA or not, we actually got reform this time. So I agree with you absolutely that the timing's right. And hopefully with this, you know, being able to add technology and a platform that makes it easy to collaborate, that this is going to be a wonderful, I hope, industry-changing movement that you're putting together.
So, you know, one of the things we're doing is we're having, next week we're all in Boston for the Front End of Innovation conference. So we're going to restart our weekly webinars on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock Eastern. And I forgive me, Tom. Tom is the one who runs us through the, shows the platform and answers questions about how to use and things like that. But I think the subtext of our whole project is the fact that this is a really kick-butt innovation team. And that's going to be fun to watch, you know, a year from now, how our roles change and how we've, you know, come together to produce this great product. So I'm all about the innovation team.
So this is Greg. Thank you for that. And Kevin, really appreciate your energy and clarification framing of what you and we collectively are up against. And I have to say that certainly as you, I write a lot about ACOs, and I spent the better part of the 80s and 90s developing IPAs, ACOs, and the MSOs that tried to manage them. And what's on our side today, A, is I believe in ACOs, and I think it's the last bite at the apple that the private sector has to actually make things work in a private-public partnership.
Amen.
And if we don't get it right, I think the feds will step in and single payer will be in our future in the not-too-distant future. But
absolutely.
Let me say that, yeah, we used to be able to contain this discussion. You know, the healthcare Borg or the House of Cards that's imploding on itself –
inside healthcare leadership circles. But today we can no longer do that. It is a broad societal, if not global, issue. Healthcare is taking down economies, not just sectors. So it's not like
taking down our economy.
Absolutely. I'm there. I'm with you. I'm saying. So what I'm saying is there's an imperative here that hasn't quite existed before, that crosses the ecosystem, that engages all of the stakeholders in that ecosystem, many of whom don't even know they're in the ecosystem, in such a way that they can no longer avoid it. So good timing.
Well, I think so. You know, from my perspective, one of the things that we've seen, we've had an opportunity to really do a learning curve view of those in healthcare, the brightest, most well-read people in our country, but to collaborate on a platform, we've had to spend a lot of time educating, you know, what is a collaborative platform? How do you co-create? What does that mean, really? I mean, so that's been kind of interesting to be able to share in that way and to educate.
And can you say a few words about engaging physicians? Are you doing outreach to get practicing docs involved in this?
In fact, our first webinar was with two physicians. So, you know, Virginia Gurley and Dexter Cherney, they had a lot of questions that I guess we went probably 90 minutes, and they explored every detail of you know, how do you do this and that, and I don't know, I thought it was a very open conversation. So yes, and you know, one of the questions that both of them had is, how do I protect my reputation? And we have a very hardline policy that we want disruptive ideas and not disruptive people. And you know, we've invited this VIP group, which the both of you are in, and we certainly know that the folks that we've invited in will be policing the site themselves, as well as the folks at Battery and Kevin and myself as well.
And could you say, that's very interesting, Leanne, and I know Dexter and I've met Dr. Gurley, but don't know her well, but I'm kind of curious what their concerns were. Were their concerns monetary? Were their concerns quality? Were their concerns... geez, there's so much change going on, I don't know if I can take any more. What were the issues that came up in this conversation?
Well, actually, you hit it right on the head. They were worried about, for instance, pharma reps coming in on the side and promoting products, which, of course, we won't allow, or those that are trying to sell. Are they going to be allowed to come in and write on the side? So we gently told them, no, that won't happen on our site. We're really here to generate thoughts and ideas and to create something and take an idea from its starting place, you know, hopefully to generate business models. So I think that was the main, don't you think, Kevin?
Exactly. And we want and encourage, I call it purveyor, because I had to have a P that stayed consistent with patient, payer, and provider. So I call them purveyors. And they range from the pharmaceutical companies to Nike. Anybody who's actually creating something that's facilitating either patient engagement or health or wellness. They're an important aspect of the equation, and we can't have them outside of the equation, or they'll still remain in that same sort of fixed business model where it's, let's invent a new machine, whether it's needed or not, and then someone will buy that machine, and they'll run lots of fee-for-service activity through that machine, and costs keep going up. So they're just as important as anybody else in here, and there are a lot of hurdles to overcome. I mean, this is, we're kind of United Colors of Benetton, or the United Nations. We've got old insurance guys, although I'm not really an insurance guy, but I did work there for 3 years, and I consult with a lot of them, and I believe in the necessity of having coverage. We've got lots of doctors, nurses, health and wellness practitioners. We have app makers and device makers, trying to get some pharmaceutical people to be in here as well, and everyone from the consumption standpoint.
Kevin, I need to just step in for a moment.
Yep.
We're going to wind down the live portion of the broadcast. Greg Masters and co-host Pat Solver. We've been speaking with the principal organizers of the Model H. We're going to go to overtime shortly. Okay, we're back, and we can actually continue our chat. Sounds like we got some conversation going for another 5 minutes or so, as long as you still want to participate.
So just finishing up, we've got a very good full house. We encourage more people to come in. And I guess, Leah, can we take a moment just to instruct everybody how to get involved and be part of this? This is not generating income or money for anybody. This is a labor of love for us. We all believe vehemently in doing this. And Battery's been kind enough to actually provide us the software to allow it to happen at no charge. So we want to take advantage of that and get lots of people to come and take part of this and help us write this book.
Sure. The easiest way to just get linked into our site is actually we have a link called Introducing Model H, and it's a landing page that actually describes the project. It shows all the players, our bios, and then I'm going to do a soft pitch over to Tom. And then Tom, after they register, anyone who wants to register and be part of the community can register, and it takes you right to the Battery site. And then, Tom, what happens after that?
Well, when everyone registers, they'll be able to get access to the platform and take a look around, read Kevin's thoughts and the initial brief. I think that'll give everyone the clear context. And there are really two ways to contribute once you're registered on the site. And Kevin's laid those out in a pretty easy-to-understand manner. And they are really contribute your research and your inspiration about what we should be considering on the space, and then respond to Kevin's positions out in the idea space. And so he's put a few thoughtful comments out there where he's looking for the team to contribute, push back on his ideas and so forth. And the platform's pretty easy to use, and but you can always ask questions right out there on the site. You'll see there's a support tab. And so feel free to press a button out there and ask a question, and the team and myself will get right back to you if you have any issues.
And can anybody participate, or do you want nominations of people? How exactly do we get people to be
anybody
involved?
And everybody, because all of us are stakeholders, at least from the consumption perspective. So people validating, oftentimes problems are solved not by the people who are living in that domain, but people who are outside of that domain. So if we try to solve this without validation of the actual consumer, if it's just the docs and the insurance companies and the pharma reps deciding, then we've missed a major portion of that. So everybody's invited. We go back to Leah's point, thinkers but not disruptive people, but we really do want to get everybody involved in this. It's a big tent opportunity.
Right, and we're opening the community app starting next week. But our initial group, where you and Greg were included, we did have a VIP to come in and test it, get your ideas. And, you know, we really wanted that that population or that community to just, because you have experience with innovation, what do you think? What are your first thoughts? And it's been great so far.
So, Leah, will you be using this initial group to help spread the word? You mentioned
yep.
that our combined, we don't have Rolodexes anymore, but contact lists, whatever it is. It would be great if you all put something together, and then we could either, send it out to our contacts or tweet it or use social media to help get the word out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Vince asked. He asked me to write an email so he could send it to Leonard and all those folks. And definitely I'll do that for you and Greg both.
Sounds great.
Yeah, yeah.
And so tell us the website again.
So the way that you can get in and just learn a little bit about it is going to enter in Introducing Model H. And that'll just give you a very, very brief overview of who we are, what we're trying to accomplish, and then you can register right from that link. And our next webinar, Pat, is the 15th of May at 6 p.m.
Okay, 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern? 6 p.m.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
In my mind, all time falls on East Coast time. Forgive me.
That's okay, because in our mind, it's all on Pacific time. So it's
you guys get the sunsets.
We do indeed.
So why the H? And before reading anything, I'm just curious.
Oh, you would have to ask that. Well, that comes from the creative giant over at Battery, Chad. So, Joe, do you want to say something about how we came up with Model H?
I think it was mostly serendipitous. Like many of our ideas, we were looking at doing some research on earlier initiatives from different space, adjacent space, and Model H came to mind. It has a legacy that goes back to Ford, and that's really where we got it from.
Yeah, that's what came to my mind, obviously, Model T. So is there any unconference characteristic here? I mean, for instance, Bar Camp or Health Camp, or is there an unconference element?
That's
so
interesting.
Cool.
The guys from Health Camp are friends of mine, and getting them involved and getting the guys from Google from crowdsourcing involved, they've been helping as well. So we're hoping
that
act takes a kind of a life of its own and gets bigger and does that. A conference would be a phenomenal place for us to actually take some of the people who've contributed to the battery system, come together in a one-on-one setting, and then really compare notes and dive into some of the more detailed and complex areas. That would be a great experience if we could get something like that going.
Well, let it be said for the record that it was Health Camp San Diego who brought the idea forward.
Greg, you're like the man. I'll say that.
Greg, the man.
Yeah, right.
Greg is the man.
All right. Okay, stop it. So, all right, everyone. I mean, that's awesome information. Is there anything else we've left out?
Yeah. Stop what you're doing as soon as we're done with this radio show and sign up. You guys need to be in this kick butt group here.
And we'll put a blog post up on HIBC.TV. Of course, you can get the hyperlinks in the program description that's up on the Blog Talk Radio, our Blog Talk Radio channel, which is blogtalkradio.com/HIBC.TV, and it's this episode. So what I'll do is I will email you the media player embed code from this unique episode, and this archives end-to-end. It's the entire broadcast, which will be available for replay, and you can circulate that, and that can be part of spreading the word.
Now that's fantastic. And, you know, I have a question for Pat, and this is just something that Kevin, Riley, and I have just been tossing around this, and Joe, actually, this idea. When you have a project like this, Pat, do any projects like this get crowdfunded? You know, I just keep thinking that there's so many elements to what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can try and crowdfund anything.
Crowdfund my mortgage payment.
And we've been trying to crowdfund just about anything. And you know, we've learned a lot about donation-based crowdfunding. And I'm happy to have a conversation with you offline. We're introducing a new concept to our crowdfunding platform called the Corporate Match. And so there are some variations on a theme that, you know, could be applied in this case. We probably should have a chat about it.
Oh, yeah, we should. I know I'm working on a good project when I, like, in the middle of the night, I'm writing down ideas or I think of something, you know.
Yeah, that's really good for everything but sleep.
Yeah. I know.
Well, this is fantastic. I'm delighted, Leah, that you included myself, and Greg is delighted as well in this project. And indeed, once we're done, I'll go over and sign up.
Well, how could we not launch a product without you and Greg, the foremost media moguls in healthcare?
Okay, Leah, come on. Let's
Yeah, HIBC is CNN. What can I say?
Right. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Really, thank you very much for having us on.
Yeah.
Guys,
right,
it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks for stopping by.
Leah, thanks for pulling it together.
Yeah, you guys have a great weekend.
Appreciate your time today, getting the word out, and we will see you offline.
All right. Talk to you later, guys.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye. Bye now. So, this is Greg Masters on behalf of the Health Innovation Broadcast Consortium with my co-host, Pat Salmer. I want to thank Leah Carey, at the Health Maven, also for her efforts in pulling this together. And check it out. Check the website out and join. So, Greg Masters saying bye now and see you next week on This Week in Health Innovation. Bye-bye.